You're listening to a sermon from New Harvest Church in Salem, Oregon. We believe that you were created for connection to Christ and a community of his followers. This sermon is an extension of our desire to become more like Christ by engaging God's word within our weekly gatherings. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday. You can learn more about New Harvest and our ministries at newharvestch.org.
Well, it's my opportunity to welcome you to our live stream. I understand we had a few technical difficulties again, but here we are, excited to be together with you in this unique time of life and church. And so unique times call for unique ways of doing things, and you can tell there's something unique about the way we are set up here. We're going to team teach. How about that? My name's Barry Brown, and this is my team teaching cohort, Steve Ince. He's our associate pastor of discipleship and group life, and we're excited to be with you today. We hope that what we have to share will be uplifting and encouraging to you. At the same time, we have a little unique idea to go along with it. If you would like to ask a question, you can text on this text number you see. You can text us a question. And after we share a few of our thoughts, we'll field those questions and ask God to give us some guidance and some helpful advice. So, welcome. More than survive, let's thrive. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about the times we're living, and I thought of this, a couple of lighter notes. How about this? What types of jokes are allowed during quarantine? How about that? Inside jokes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's try another one. I'll tell you a coronavirus joke, but you'll have to wait for 2 weeks to see if you got it. All right, I shared these with my wife, and she smiled about as much as you are probably right now. Anyway, nail salons, hair salons, barbershops, tanning places, they're all closed. It's about to get ugly out there. Anyway, one more. How about one more? You're saying one more? Okay. Did you hear the joke about the germ? Never mind. I don't want to spread it around. Mm. Oh, here we go. You know, most months are 31 days. More than half of the months are 31 days. And then there's a few others that are 30 days. But March and April, infinite. Hasn't it felt like infinite? So long. We have been at this for quite a while, it seems. And it's going so slow. It kind of reminds me when I was a kid. And it was Christmas time. December was the slowest month of the year. And so we realize that there's lots of challenges out there, lots of things that, obstacles and difficulties, and we want to address those. So here, Steve and myself, we'll take some time to point you to God's word and hopefully give you some encouragement today. Steve, how do you see things happening? What have you noticed these days?
Well, I've noticed that most people, including myself, well, probably everyone, we are experiencing a variety of emotions that we've never felt before, at least to this depth and degree. There's always tensions and frictions, but on such a scale, at such a depth, it has been quite troubling. And for me to wrap my mind around it, I've kind of put it into at least two struggles, two frustrations that most of us are dealing with, and that would be the struggle with the unknown and the struggle of feeling like you are in harm's way. Now, you may be not ready to say I'm struggling or I'm having a difficult time, but at least I'm sure you're frustrated with this, with schools and teachers trying to do schools in a way that it was never designed to be done, really, and being stretched through the medical community, businesses shutting down, retail, lack of the opportunity to earn income on just so many different levels. This is overwhelming. I know that I think finally what I had the deer in the headlight look. You know when I had the deer in the headlight look that just this is more than just tough, is when we went to Starbucks at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and even the drive-thru was shut. I came to realize a lot of my comfort comes from a cup of coffee. Well, that's pretty simple. But Jesus and his disciples, they faced the unknown. They faced the harm's way scenario way more often than I think we realize. In Luke 4:29, Jesus goes back to his town, Nazareth, and the people there, after listening to him, they take him to the brow of a hill to throw him off the cliff. That wasn't a warm home welcoming at all for him. Later on, one of the many examples that we have in John 10:31, it says, once again, not just once, but once again, they picked up stones to throw at Jesus, to kill him. He was in harm's way quite often. And the disciples being next to him, I know they felt that too. Also, John 10:20, one of the religious leaders said, hey, I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus. And Jesus said, you know what? Foxes have places to go, their dens, and birds have nests. But I don't have a fixed place guaranteed at the end of the day for me to lay my head. There was a lot of unknown for them. There was a scenario where Jesus had just left to the occasion when they were about to stone him, and he took his disciples to the other side of the Jordan River, a safe place, safe to get away, and he did ministry there. And while he was there, some of his best friends, Mary and Martha, sent him a message that their brother, also Jesus' close friend, Lazarus, was ill, was dying actually. Jesus took that in and then continued to do ministry for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, you know what? Let's go back to Judea. And it says in John 11:8, let's go back to Judea. Let's go back to Jerusalem. And the disciples all backpedal and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You know, they do this huge, what is this about? Wait a minute, wait. Jesus, last time we were there, just a short while ago, they tried to kill us. They tried to stone you. And I think if they had been throwing stones at you, they might have hit us. So they were experiencing harm's way, even with Jesus. A moment of pause it gave them for sure. The unknown of how will this play out. They experienced a lot of what we're experiencing.
And that helps us to realize that we're not alone in this, that even our Savior Jesus and his disciples had such intensity. And when I was thinking about the intensity that we feel and sometimes the heaviness that goes along with that, I was thinking of some words from the psalmist. And you probably even remember this phrase. I found it in Psalm 42, verse 5, and it's also repeated again in verse 11. And it goes like this. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And that resonated with how I see us doing life or the kind of challenges we feel. And I probably have asked myself that question. You probably have asked yourself that question when we've been kind of down and discouraged. Sometimes I ask myself that question or say it like that, and I'm kind of feeling some self-pity. You know, like, oh, woe is me. But not the psalmist. He was contemplating things, and he was kind of looking inside. And in verse 6, we see kind of his response when it says, my soul is downcast within me. And then he gives kind of a reason, and it'll make sense to you. Therefore, I will remember you, God, from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Now, you don't readily know what he's talking about there. But he says he's downcast because he's far to the north of the Sea of Galilee, and he would rather be close to others and to Jerusalem. And he says that really clearly in verse 4. In verse 4, he said, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Among the festive throng. What does that mean? I was with my friends, and we were praising God, and it was great. But now he's saying, I'm alone. I'm in isolation. It's very difficult. Look what he says in verse 7. In verse 7, it goes one step further. Deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. You know what that's saying? It's getting more difficult. It's getting darker. And then it says, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers sweep over me. So he, when he's saying this, this is what I think he's getting at. I am letting myself focus on what is negative and unsettling as if God is punishing me. I'll say it again. I am letting myself focus on what is negative and unsettling as if God is punishing me. He's alone. He is focusing on the disappointments and circumstances. We can relate to that. He's suggesting that that's only making it worse. And so, weighed down, we can feel this, the same kind of weighed down heaviness, burdens that we feel right now, challenging us as if one wave after another crashes against us. You know, the bottom line is he's feeling distant from God. And as I said, all alone. What are we going to do, Steve, in a situation like this? What steps can we take?
And that's the big question. What steps can be taken? We can look at, as a good example of what to do, is the same story with when the disciples had pushed back and said, but Jesus, you know, that's not a good idea to go back into harm's way back in Jerusalem. They continue to talk a little bit more. And then Thomas, who will be known worldwide as Doubting Thomas, though steps up to the plate and says something that I think we could grasp right now. He says to the disciples, it almost feels like Jesus has already started walking away, and he could tell there's reluctance, there's conflict, there's worry, there's concern on the disciples' part. And in verse 16, Thomas says, let us go also, so that we may die with him. Now, you know, at first glance, that sounds maybe a little sarcastic. But if you unpack that a little bit, Thomas is assessing, now we are on the other side of the Jordan. We're really safe here, probably, a minimal risk to be over here. But Jesus wants to go back into harm's way. We could stay here while he goes back. Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Thomas says, no, that'd be a bad idea. It would be better for us to go into harm's way with Jesus. Let us go, who, even if we die, it's a better place to be alongside Jesus, even if it's harm's way. It's better to be there than to be wandering around in the desert feeling somewhat safe. Because the truth is, we're really not as safe as we tend to think. This is the time where we can make a decision that we can focus in, as you said, on just the worry and the concern, which are all very real. I do applaud us to be aware of things. But to be consumed by them, that's the problem. One of the authors I enjoy listening to said, Jesus came to start a revolution. Not a revolution with guns and weapons, but he's come to start a revolution that asks me to lay down my kingdom, my reliance on my way of doing things, and to enter into his kingdom. There's a battle going on there the whole time. And the truth is, the best place to be in that battle is alongside Jesus, because he said, I will be with you. Story of a 5-year-old boy, maybe you've heard it. His mother had died. He was the only child. And as you can imagine, this 5-year-old was suffering through that, and the loss and the fears that came alongside not having his mother anymore. And at night, these became very, very real, these concerns and fears. And he would often get out of his bed and go into his dad's bedroom and say, Daddy, I'm afraid. And the dad, understandably, say, well, jump up in bed and lay down with me. Now, it's dark, and there's only a little light that just barely comes through the windows. And the little boy, after a few seconds, says, Daddy, can you see me? And the dad assured him, yes, I can see you. A few minutes later, that still these attempts to help his son feel secure weren't enough. And finally, the boy's fears sprang out a little more and said, Daddy, could you turn your face towards me? And the father said, my face is turned right towards you. And a few seconds later, the boy fell asleep. safe because he was convinced that his father had given all of his attention to him. And that's the same thing that really that Jesus is asking now. I have turned my face towards you. Look full into my eyes. Now, there's a lot of ways to try and help us actually do that practically, but two things come to my mind. One is one that Barry's already mentioned. And I just a little rhyme here. Keep your eyes on the prize, not what you despise. The more that I'm riveted to the TV or the radio, something that's telling me all the terrible things that are going on, that's what my mind is captured with. Be aware and step away. And the second thing is quiet. Quiet down often. Quiet yourself down often. Be still. 2, 3, 4 times a day, be still in the presence of God. And know that his face is turned completely towards you.
Yeah. Isn't that helpful? And I feel a sense of encouragement and peace just listening to Steve share about the invitation we have to be close to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Maybe a question has come to your mind as you've been listening to us, and you'll take a minute to text it, and we'll see if we can't share a few thoughts about some of these questions that are coming our way. Now, I think that makes perfect sense, and I was drawn to this sense of connection with God through Christ, and how when I'm close to the Lord, it begins to change my viewpoint. And that's what happens in the psalmist. In Psalm 42, remember I said, why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? You know what the next thing he says? It's almost like he's talking to himself. He says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That's what he says, both in verse 5 and verse 11 of Psalm 42. And I like that word, my Savior, the rescuer, the assurance that God rescues me through his son, Jesus Christ. And I know that. And so I see him moving in a new direction. Watch what happens in verse 8. This is really the key. By day, the Lord directs his love. That word love is such a rich word. It's the word hesed, and it's loving kindness. God's love is directed or pointed at me, at you, the eye of his affection. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Is that closeness? That is a verse about closeness. Just like Steve was sharing about Jesus, this closeness points the psalmist to say these words. I say to God, my rock, my rock. That is a good word. Rock is strong and stable. So do you notice that in these words? His focus is shifting. He's finding strength. His view of God, he's reminding himself of who God is and how much God loves him and how strong God is and how the Lord cares for us. You know, your view of God will make all the difference. What kind of view of God do you have? What is your perspective? Who is God to you right now? Well, here's a prayer that I often start with when I pray is Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. This really is foundational for me. It goes like this. I love you, Lord, my strength. Start my prayer that way. I need you. I love you. You're the focus of my affection as he is for me. The Lord is my rock. What does that mean? My fortress and my deliverer. And then he says, my God is my rock. He says it again. In whom I take refuge, safety, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He's strong enough to save me. He's my stronghold. You see the confidence you can have that God is enough and that we know we have relationship with the living God through his son, Jesus Christ. And we're not just set on survival. We can actually thrive in the midst of the most difficult things. Do you believe that? I believe that. And this peace that we've been talking about, well, Isaiah told us about this, the assurance of peace and the experience of peace. Remember Isaiah 26:3? You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. You know what that means? Fixed on the Lord. My thoughts are assured of him because they trust in you. This perfect peace for the person that keeps his eyes and mind set on the stability, love, and assurance that God cares for us. That perfect peace is a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that takes us through the most difficult times. To be at peace now is a reflection that we have an anchor in our lives, that we have assurance in our lives. And this is something that really can reflect to the world, that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have anchor. We are strong, just like we sang as we began. You know, if I put a board, a 4-inch wide board along this stage, and I asked you to walk on that board, you'd have no problem, right? You'd be able to do it, and you would do it with a sense of confidence and no fear at all, right? But what if I took that same very strong, stable 4-foot plank and extended it between two buildings, 10 stories high? Now, picture yourself. It would be very difficult for us. We can imagine that we'd be afraid of falling, and we would be, you know, like distracted by the dire circumstances surrounding us, right? And that's the way it could be right now. We can start looking at the dire circumstances, and they can become our focus, as we've been saying. But what if I, even with that kind of scary scenario, would rivet my attention on the board, knowing that Jesus is the bridge and he will carry me across, and I can be assured of that. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what we're saying? This relationship with God through his son Jesus is meant to be close, and it's meant to be the foundation of our assurance, to trust in him. And I'm wondering today, do you have a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ by faith? If you do, you can now lean into the kind of resources and strength that he gives, knowing with assurance that no matter what's happening around you, he will take care of you now and forever. But if you don't have that assurance, you can. It's as simple and as real as a sincere prayer of asking the Lord to come into your life, making you new, and giving you a foundation that will last forever. You know, you've been maybe writing some of these questions that you've had pertinent to the situation we're going through, and I'm looking forward to fielding some of these questions. So Tyler is going to come up now, and he's going to give us a few of the questions that have been on your mind now or even earlier in the message, and so on. So, Tyler, what's the first question out there for us?
First question is, how do you do this? What does this look like in your lives, what you've been talking about, maybe more practically?
Yes. Thank you. You know, for me, to keep my focus right, I begin the day thinking about God. I get up and I do just a few things. I brush my teeth, throw some water on my face, and I find my chair and I begin to read, think, journal even, with the whole purpose is that my mind will be fixed on the Lord, and that he will carry me through the day. I dedicate the day to him. Steve, I begin the day with these thoughts in mind. How about you?
Very, very similar. I noticed a friend and I were talking about our first thoughts in the morning, first thing, and they're not good. They tend to be more what's going to make me happy, or probably things I shouldn't say right now on the air. But it's like a fight for grabbing for a lifeline that's flapping in the wind. there's a fight going on first thing in the morning, and I'm trying to reach for the presence of God. Reaching for, there's some key verses, a kind of a stockpile of verses that I'll start telling myself, His mercies are new every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for some verses, and I start feeding my mind those, and then not just in the morning, every 2 or 3 hours throughout the entire day, pause. Like I said, quiet it down and feed your mind those truths. That goes a long ways to getting you in the right direction.
Yes, thank you. That's good.
So this is a little harder one. That was a softball question. Two people have asked the same generic question, so I'll kind of phrase it in a way that captures both of their questions. It's this idea around the push for reopening and whether we as Christians should embrace the stay-at-home orders or be pushing for our government to be reopening. My first, I'll give part of my answer, would be they could listen to the message last Sunday.
Yes.
That'd be part of it. But I'm curious how you would go at that.
Don't you see God at work right now doing some amazing things? Mm-hmm. He is working through this kind of time of waiting and isolation to show us that our hope is found in Him and Him alone. And if we want a quick fix and want it to get back, I want it back to normal. I think that that unsettledness is something that you need to give to God. Because we're going to obey the governing authorities. And we're going to wait on the Lord, and He's going to deepen our lives. Right, Steve?
Yeah, I would agree. That what I made reference to earlier was the two kingdoms at war. The kingdom that's yelling out that I want my way invariably is not the right one. Pausing, this reflecting on, we know for sure what did God say is to be praying for those in authority, to be listening to them. And God has let plenty of time throughout the history leaders be in place, even position leaders in place, who were as godless as they came.
Yeah.
And God said, still follow, to reverently pray for them. So I understand that there's great thought been given to this, but I think I'd rather err on the side of obeying. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Next question is, do you think there's a better sense of community now than before all of this COVID-19 pandemic implications hit here? And kind of with that, are people more connected and neighborly now than they were before?
Well, the pastor of community life should answer that one.
Well, the potential for it is certainly there. I've been working in my garage a lot the last 3 months, and people are walking past on the sidewalk a lot more often, and people are stopping and talking. So, yes, the potential. I heard something the other day I haven't heard in probably 30 years. They were like 7 and 10-year-old kids playing outside in the front yard and getting along. So, I mean, there's some community going on, and I think people are realizing we need each other more than we thought. Some of the Zoom meetings... if you've been on a Zoom meeting, a lot of people notice, which my friend Jack was bringing this up, that people are looking at behind you. You're on the screen, but they're noticing your cat, pictures on your wall. They're starting to feel like they've been invited into your house, and they're feeling closer to you than just being at work. So, yes, the potential is really there, and I hope we don't lose that of feeling a sense of more community. It does take more effort.
Very important. Thank you. That's good.
So next question is more of a comment. Brandon, age 7, wants to know, can I go to Pastor Steve's house for ice cream?
If you bring the ice cream, sure.
Okay. A more serious question is whether this, I'm trying to find it here. Should we look at the coronavirus as a way that God is trying to build our character through perseverance?
Well, the Bible says that consider hardship as discipline from the Lord. So I think God is using this to get our attention. And I think he wants to develop some depth in us that maybe we didn't previously have. Something of a foundation that previously maybe wasn't quite as firm. Now, trusting in him in deeper ways. I see God's hand in this. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. And he is always active, never sleeping, never slumber. And I see him working in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying he's working in your life during this season.
Let me just say that my wife was telling me this morning that around the world, they're discovering, and probably you've noticed it, that because of this COVID-19, the corona, they're starting to notice that cities that normally have so much pollution, not so much anymore.
Right.
Water that were dirty and filthy now actually have fish swimming in it. Mm. There is some very good things happening in the middle of this. And so let's look for how we can write it for the benefit of mankind, or just to be more Christ-like instead of trying to run and complain about it.
How about one more?
Okay.
Last one. A few people asked this in a very roundabout ways. It is, when we're meeting in person, it's very easy to kind of figure out what the needs of the church body are and opportunities for people to step up, to serve, to be involved. And obviously, stay-at-home orders, which should be followed by especially people who are in the vulnerable populations, make this more difficult. But what does it look like for our church body to serve? How do you think that could be applied? People wanting to be involved, wondering what the needs are for right now.
That's a hard question,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
It's probably one of the points that stretches us the most. At least me as a pastor, I have an uncertainty about what's going on in the lives of people more so than ever. So I do find that difficult. And sometimes I feel a little heavy-hearted about it. But I am praying. I believe that God is there better than I could be. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for that touch from God, that encouragement, that whisper. And we don't have as many ways as tangible ways to serve, but we can do some unique things. I think a word of encouragement can be a great way through a text message. And, our technology is really amazing. So when you have opportunity and it's good for you, check out a Zoom meeting that you're invited to and just see what it's like. It might be better than you think. And we're still doing our food bank. We have our food bank this Saturday, but we can only have so many volunteers. Social distancing, and also the way we're doing food bank now by serving at their car and less contact. We have plenty of volunteers, but pray for that opportunity to bless our community. Steve, you got any ideas on that one?
I think of things around the building here I'd love for someone to come and tackle, but I just can't bring myself to ask someone to come and do it, even though they'd be by themselves 100 feet from anybody else. But there is a tension there. I think the best thing we could do is the proactively texting, emailing, calling, stepping out, and you'll find out just the ministry of calling someone and encouraging them. That's ministry.
It is.
Blessing them.
Yeah. But that was, I think, a very challenging question in the midst of our present journey. We believe that you will receive what you need as you step closer to Christ, and the word says he'll step closer to us. Mm-hmm. And we can trust him through this, right? So I invite you to pray with me. Father in heaven, as I pray with and for people that are listening in right now, I ask you, Lord, to be that God that's close and speak that word of love and encouragement. And God, may we all know how strong and sure you are in these uncertain times. So that's our prayer today, Lord. And now the journey's been over 6 weeks of more isolation. And may we see the benefit of having a deeper walk with you. We commit these prayers to you and each one that's listening. And, oh, Lord, I would also like to pray for anyone that's uncertain about their relationship with you. You say, your word says, call in the name of the Lord and you will be saved. As simple and sincere as that, anyone that's listening in, uncertain about their relationship with you, may they call on the name of Jesus Christ to be saved and be assured now and forever of life with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.